And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
It is hard to believe, but we've essentially hit the midway point for another fantasy hockey season. Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 14, Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Elberga joined alongside Jake Hahn. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, Nick. It's crazy how quickly we got here to the halfway point. And, you know, this is the second half. Now we got to get serious. We got to ramp things up, get into fantasy playoffs. We got PD on board, as always, today. We got Leboff coming up for the betting segment as well. And as always, this episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Jake, let's not bury the lead. I celebrated a couple years ago when Team Canada won the World Juniors. We talked about it last year. There's so many future fantasy files who played in that tournament, namely for the United States. I'm excited for that, but a well-earned tournament victory for them.
There's a couple I'd like on my roster right now. If they're willing to just come to the NHL, we can get them over. There's a couple guys on that U.S. team, man. They've got a lot of skill. And, hey, it was a fun weekend. I know Canada got bounced. For us Canadian hockey fans, they got bounced early. But I really enjoyed the games over the weekend. We had a few OT games. And who doesn't love OT in the gold medal game, Nick? I will say I would prefer it not to be 3-on-3. And I said this even when Canada won gold in 3-on-3 a couple years ago as well. Not a huge fan of that in a gold medal game. U.S. completely dominated that 3-on-3. It was only a matter of time before they were going to score a goal.
The IIHF has its own mind and feel of how hockey should be played. I'll just leave it at that.
Leave it there. We've
talked about this ad nauseum in Canada for years, how you could decide a tournament like that 3-on-3 style, but I digress. We move on. So I've tasked both Jake and Pete with giving me some midway mark analysis, if you will. Biggest player surprise, biggest player disappointment, biggest team surprise, biggest team disappointment. You know, the sample size is long enough where we have some deliberations on that front. Jake, so we'll start with you. Start with the player aspect, boys. Biggest player surprise for you, Jake, is who?
Well, I got a couple options. I mean, there's been some really nice surprises. I felt like this was the most difficult to maybe narrow it down to just one or two players. But I'm going to go with Kirill Marchenko of the Columbus Blue Jackets here. Nick, this was just not a player that was really on my radar. I think if I was looking at Columbus, I was probably looking at a couple of other guys before I got to his name. And now we're looking at a guy who's a point per game player. And we're going to be asking the question now going into next year's season, assuming he keeps it up the rest of this year. Okay, where do we draft him? Is this for real? Was this just a blip, like a, you know, career type season? So Kirill Marchenko for me has been my most pleasant surprise this year.
I like a good pick. The year of Kirill continues, I think, in the National Hockey League. I'm going to stick in Columbus with this, guys. I'm going with Zach Werenski, ranked just outside the top 100 entering the season. He's played 40 games, has 12 goals, 45 points. He's on pace, Jake, for 25 goals and 93 points. How long have we been waiting for this type of production from Zach Werenski for?
Years. I can't think of how many times I've had Werenski on my radar, and whether it's injuries or just poor play, it just never seems to work out. And this year, I mean, he was on my short list as well, Nick. So we're kind of, you know, in lockstep on this one. I was looking at a couple Columbus Blue Jackets. He's been amazing. And I think right now, as it stands, you'd have to give him serious consideration, at least to be on the Norris ballot, right? Cale Makar. I mean, now Quinn Hughes is banged up. Does that maybe open up a spot if he misses a lot of time? I think Werenski's got to be firmly in that conversation right now.
Hey, start the campaign, Jake. I actually have a future on Werenski to win the award that I started before the season. Similar to my Kaprizov look, I just took a flyer on Zach Werenski, so I'll take him for the Norris, please, very much.
I think at the very least he's in the top three at the moment. Like, again, Cale Makar is obviously always going to be the guy to beat, and he's just going to be able to put up these crazy numbers. But Werenski is right there with him. I mean, the numbers that this guy is putting up, and I thought maybe early in the season, okay, is this just a good start? But Columbus continues to score a lot of goals. It feels sustainable. We're at the halfway mark, like you said, and he's still keeping it up. So I like your chances there to at least get in the mix.
Biggest player disappointment, I'll go first here. Igor Shesterkin. I'm sorry. I could bomb the entire New York Rangers team, which I'm sure at some point in this conversation we will, but I'm going to go with Shesterkin. He's been an absolute grenade and now injured for the New York Rangers, but 11-15-1, 3.10, 906, one shutout for a guy who was a top three fantasy goalie entering this season. He has been awful, Jake, so that's my pick.
Yeah, well, and if you took him, you maybe had the option to probably go with a Hellebuck in that range as well, and you're probably thinking, oh boy, I should have went with Hellebuck, and if I was going to take a goaltender early, there was other options that would be suiting me better right now, and I think you're just hoping and praying that he comes back from this, and he's the old Igor Shesterkin, but that's a hope and a pray at this point, and the Rangers haven't looked themselves. I was almost going to go with Artemi Panarin here just because he was a first-round player, and it's been a little disappointing, but I actually went with Roman Josi, Nick, as my biggest disappointment this year. Looking at the file, and it's just not what we've come to expect from Josi. I know the players in front of him probably deserve to shoulder some of this blame as well, but only 25 points in 36 games, and get this, a dash 22. If you're playing with plus minus, a dash 22 for Roman Josi, we have never seen anything like that from him in the plus minus category.
Oh, he's been the North Pole. I think in general, like I was really looking at that team. I was looking at Josi for this sort of pick too. They've been such a massive disappointment in general. Maybe they could have a look here in the second half and produce some value. But in general, Nashville's a team that many fantasy owners are looking at, say, hey, we want a piece of that pie. But if you did, you're in trouble right now, probably.
I probably could have just listed the entire roster for this exercise, but instead I singled out Roman Josi, and hey, he's had countless great seasons. We know that he's been a fantasy stud for years, right around that point per game player from the back end, loves to shoot the puck, but I think with the mix of Preds players this year and all these puck dominant guys that like to shoot it, I don't know if maybe that's affected Josi a little bit, and obviously you need your forwards to help you if you're a defenseman to put that puck in the back of the net, and he just hasn't been getting that help this year.
Biggest team surprise and biggest team disappointment. I'll give you both of mine right now. I'm going to go with team surprise first. The Washington Capitals for me. They scored the second most goals as a team in the NHL. Six top 100 ranked players right now. Strome, Wilson, McMichael, Ovechkin, Chychrun, and Thompson. And they're a top five team in the NHL right now. The Ovechkin chase is just like a sidebar story to this impressive season for Spencer Carberry and company.
I had Washington as well. How could you not pick Washington? I mean, from what they're doing. I think if I were to give a shout out to anybody else that was on my shortlist, though, it is the Ottawa Senators and how things have come together. I don't know if I would call it as much of a surprise, but just something we've been waiting for them to play. I'd still like to see it a bit more consistently, but they were able to manage a really difficult road trip lately. So you work through that, you get some home games on the back end. I like what Ottawa's done, but there's no doubt that the correct answer here is the Capitals. What this team is doing just continues to amaze me.
Shout out to Columbus, though, and I think we're going to be in unison for biggest team disappointment, right?
Well, there's only two options here. I think there's only two options, but I went with the New York Rangers, Nick. You could go Nashville, I think, but I just think for the Rangers, we came into this season, they're a legitimate cup contender. If you pulled up the odds, they're going to be right there at the top. They won the President's Trophy last year. They made the conference final. They came in with more expectations than the Nashville Predators, and they just look terrible this year. They really do. I know they picked up a win on Sunday, but it was against the lowly Chicago Blackhawks, so it's got to be the Rangers, and if it's not the Rangers, I guess you're picking the Preds here.
It is the New York Rangers for me, too. Everybody from Panarin, Trocheck, Fox, Kreider, Shesterkin, Kreider and Zibanejad, namely, have become borderline droppable. They've been a black hole for fantasy hockey, and you want offense. They're ranked in the bottom eight of the NHL in goal scoring right now. You just can't touch the New York Rangers. It's hard to believe they were two wins away from going to the Cup final last year.
It is very hard to believe how far this team has fallen, right? We watched them in the playoffs last year, even the early part of this season, Nick, watching some of those games. I went to a game live here in Toronto early in the season. They looked like your regular New York Rangers. Igor looked like himself. He stood on his head. They won that game. They had a great record through, 10 to 15 games this year. And then all of a sudden they just forget how to play hockey. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it. A team just completely unravel and go from being a legitimate cup contender, one of the top teams in the league, to a team that looks like they're going to miss the playoffs.
Guys, just wanted to hop in. Wanted to give a shout out to the Minnesota Wild as a team surprise. Also, Philip Gustavsson, their goaltender, is ranked among the top five in standard leagues at the position. So really impressive. Something I didn't see coming. Maybe you could have said it like 2 years ago, but he had a bad season in between. But props to Minnesota for being one of the better teams in the Western Conference after missing the playoffs last year. And then disappointment for me, echoing what you're saying about the Rangers, Chris Kreider, like you're talking about healthy scratch, fourth line usage. This was a guy coming into the season that I thought, based on his category coverage, his goal scoring, his power play prowess, the team he plays for, was a top 30 overall fantasy file, and he's ranked outside the top 200 overall right now and currently banged up. So it just keeps getting worse for those Rangers, like you said.
Very alarming, Pete, when you look at that roster, you look at that team, where they go between now and March 7th as well, and just thinking about the fact of where they were, around playoff time last year, where they were in a really good position to potentially win a Stanley Cup, Pete.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking back to just a number of months ago when the Rangers swept the Capitals in the playoffs. The Capitals had no trajectory at the time, so definitely most improved team in the past calendar year. Is Washington, like you said, Dylan Strome, with or without Ovi, is better than a point per game. So really impressive there. Ovi 19 in 23 games for the goal scoring. That's also a huge surprise, as he was just plummeting in fantasy drafts for whatever reason. But so far this year, Capitals have won both games in the season series and scored 12 goals in two games against the Blue Shirts. That's ridiculous, the turnaround.
Pretty damn good. And one of the best stories in hockey right now are the Washington Capitals in general. Pete, let's jump into the Week 14 waiver wire list. I think we should start in Toronto with Matthew Knies. Have yourself a weekend. Ooh. Austin Matthews returns, plays two games, has a goal and four assists, plus six. But he played with Knies and Marner, and certainly the beneficiary, the biggest beneficiary you probably will find on the waiver wire is Matthew Knies, right?
Guys, what a difference, right? What a remedy for Matthew Knies coming back. And being in a dry spell, we were about to drop him out of the top 200 rankings last week, but then Matthews came back, and then things have transformed in the right direction with 6 points in two games, including a five-point game. He's an edge stats standout for sure, scoring from many different areas, and high-danger goals have been his thing, and even-strength goals. High-danger shots is 95th percentile. High-danger goals, 96th percentile. He's got 11 of those. So it's just going to keep getting better, and I just keep thinking back to when they hired Craig Berube, the combination of Stolarz and a healthy Matthews, and when they get to the postseason with that goalie tandem, things could be a little bit different this year. But for now, just ride this wave of fantasy relevance for the Maple Leafs now that they're getting healthy.
Pete, we've been giving the Jackets a lot of love on this episode so far. Zach Werenski, Kirill Marchenko. Why stop there? You've got another Jacket on your waiver wire list this week.
Right, Dmitry Voronkov, and we had him on the list a couple weeks ago as well, and he's just thriving in a top six role. So much offense coming from that group in Columbus this season, and Voronkov just one of those guys building off what he started in his rookie season, taking on an even bigger role there. And I just think the Columbus Blue Jackets, they may not be contending for the playoffs right now. I know maybe Montreal's a little ahead of them, but that last spot in the East is up for grabs. Linus Ullmark is out week to week. Not many people expected Columbus to be anywhere near the postseason picture, so major props to them for everything they've been through.
Very unrelated note, the Buffalo Sabres, they still stink. They're not going to make the playoffs, but Jason Zucker, 7 goals in the past 6 games. He's on fire, and that was pretty much their only addition last summer, and it's paid off.
He's been really good, and whether he's been on the top line or the third line or anywhere in between, he's the guy that scores the goals that get them those 2-0, 3-0, 4-0 leads, and then they fall off a cliff. I still am in shock for what happened the other night in Colorado. You got to credit the Avalanche for what they've done to the Sabres twice this season. But, man, yeah, hopefully your league doesn't count plus minus, and hopefully you could just reap the benefits of those first and second period goals that Jason Zucker is scoring for Buffalo.
One guy that I see on your list this week, Pete, that I think has completely flown under the radar in some circles this year is Marco Rossi. I don't think he's getting enough credit for what has happened in Minnesota, especially with some of the injuries around him. But ownership on Rossi is still extremely low, right?
He's another high-danger specialist with 37 high-danger shots and 11 high-danger goals. So I just think that what he's done, whether Kaprizov has been his line mate or not, now Kaprizov's banged up, he's still keeping it going. I just remember his first couple years in the league, trying to get up to full strength, wasn't shooting the puck that much. Now it's changed a little bit. He's become a standalone force for the Minnesota Wild and one of their best young players moving forward. That team has changed its trajectory with the flip of a coin compared to last year, and I'm just impressed by what Rossi's building here as a former first-round pick.
Pete, surprise, surprise, Thatcher Demko a bit dinged up once again for the Vancouver Canucks. Linus Allmark, they're saying 2 to 4 weeks. So naturally, fantasy owners are looking for some help in between the pipes. Got three names on this week's list. Jonathan Quick, Yaroslav Askarov, and Jakub Dobesh, the backup for the Montreal Canadiens.
I mentioned Montreal's playing well, so Dobesh has to be taken seriously. It's only been two games, but he's stopping all the mid-range shots he's faced so far, and you know, well above, you know, expectations and stuff like that. I know Montebo has been great as a workhorse this year, but they're probably going to need some other guys to step it up over time because they're a pretty top-heavy team, even offensively and on defense with Lane Hudson. So, yeah, maybe this guy could be an X factor and just, you know, be a 1-2 punch for Montreal in net if they are going to make the playoffs. I also wanted to mention, if Montreal were to make the playoffs, guys, would you consider Marty St. Louis anywhere in the Jack Adams conversation? It's something that came to mind when I was doing my top fives in each category. I actually slotted him in at fifth for the Jack Adams because of what he's done against expectations for Montreal this year.
I think if they were to make a legitimate push, Pete, top five would be fair. I just feel like Spencer Carberry probably has it locked up at this point, although there are a couple of other good candidates. So top five would be kind of where it ends for me. I did want to get into some of the defensemen that you have on your list. One in particular, Jackson Lacombe of the Anaheim Ducks. I've had a tricky time figuring out this blue line in Anaheim. Who's going to be the young guy to kind of take the reins and step up? But you seem to like what Lacombe's doing right now.
Right, goals in two straights. He's getting, you know, power play one usage most nights for Anaheim. And then also Cam Fowler's doing really well on the other side of that trade with him going to St. Louis. Big showing with the power play goal in the Winter Classic. He's had points all throughout his past, you know, 7-8 games and a lot of category coverage to boot. So it's one of those situations where, like, I remember when we were breaking down the trade, we were saying, oh, Fowler's ice time is good, but he's not contributing. Now it's starting to see the ripple effect of that trade and just a better supporting cast around him. And then Lacombe's getting bumped up as a result of Fowler being out.
Gents, I have a long memory. I know a lot of people gave us, gave me specifically some heat for even touting Cam Fowler post-trade from Anaheim to St. Louis. Well, he's got 11 games, 4 goals, 9 points, and he's fantasy relevant again. NHL.com/fantasy for the entire Week 14 waiver wire list. It is now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit connectsontario.ca as we bring in NHL handicapper extraordinaire. It is Michael Leboff. Happy New Year, buddy. What's going on?
Yeah, Happy New Year. Not too much. I'm pretty excited to start getting into the second half of the season here. I think the playoff races are about to percolate a little bit, so there's some good stuff we can get into.
Are you excited about the Detroit Red Wings? 4-1-0 under Todd McClellan, and the most important thing, they're scoring goals again.
Yeah, I think that they're an interesting case, right? Like, I don't think that this is going to be a sustainable run. We've seen this team go on these little, you know, spurts, and then they end up kind of coming back down to earth. But if it shows us one thing, it is that the new coach bounce in the NHL is a real thing, and it's just something to pay attention to. I do think that the books are keen on or in tune with it and know that people will kind of circle spots like the runs that the Red Wings have gone on. But yes, probably time to pull the plug on that one. I don't know if there's going to be too much value on Detroit going forward. But yeah, full credit to them. And it just shows you that what one, you know, good 10-day stretch can do in the Eastern Conference right now. It gets you right back into the playoff race.
What about the Montreal Canadiens? Speaking of getting back into the playoff race, Leboff, an excellent road trip for them, winning in some really tough environments. Monday night, kind of a tricky spot, right? You return home after that road trip. Never a spot we love to back teams, but we are getting the Habs as a home dog on Monday. Vancouver coming over from the West Coast, extra day of rest. This one's a tricky one for me, but it's hard not to just take the Habs right now the way they're playing.
Yeah, and I think the difference between Montreal and Detroit, right, this is a good example to bring up, is like you know that Montreal had a higher ceiling than what they showed in the beginning of the season, right? Like we knew that players should improve. If they started to get better goaltending, especially from that number two spot, they should get better. And like defensive work, you can kind of tidy things up defensively as the season goes on. It's a little bit harder to magic up goals and just be like, we need to score more. We got to find a way to score more. So I am a little bit more of a believer in Montreal. And I do think that getting the Canucks right now, or going against the Canucks right now as a home dog, is not the worst spot considering what we've seen out of Vancouver this season. Who knows? They're a team that is so difficult to get a read on. But I would much rather play Montreal than lay it with Vancouver on the road, considering the media market that they're going to be going into. It's going to be a bit of a distraction there.
Last I checked, the 5.5 number was getting pretty juiced, but I like the over in that game. For the past five meetings, Montreal-Vancouver hit the over. I also am looking at New Jersey to beat Seattle. I know they're the heavy favorite in that game, but 5-0-2 all-time against the Seattle Kraken. What are a couple other things you're looking at the next couple days?
I do think that there's a couple teams I do have circled. The Canadians are one that are definitely at the top of my list. I do like what I'm seeing out of the St. Louis Blues lately, and I do think that they're a team to pay attention to in the Western Conference. They have a good spot against we should get them in a good number, I should say, against the Wild on Tuesday night. And, man, the Wild are just banged up right now, and I also think they're probably playing a little bit out of their skull through the first 25 games, so a team that I don't really have an issue going against, considering the prices are always going to be a little bit inflated. So I'll be on the Blues in that one. I do want to play the Flyers in that kind of return the favor against the Leafs. I think the Leafs are going to be pretty overvalued over this next little stretch, because they're winning games, they're just not doing it convincingly, and I think that's been the case with this team for a little bit now. Like there was a stretch of hockey that was really impressive out of Toronto in November, but those days seem to be gone, and they really survived a lot on goaltending and getting timely goals, and they can of course beat you just on talent alone any night, and they certainly have more talent than Philadelphia, but they're definitely a team to watch. And in the bigger picture, I want to get your guys' thoughts, man. This Tampa Bay Lightning team is really interesting to me, just really, really interesting, because it's not like they changed their DNA at all. Like they went from being top heavy to being top heavy again, but they've done it with just obviously bringing in Gensel instead of Stamkos, bringing back Ryan McDonough to kind of just eat up a bunch of minutes on the back end, which they needed desperately last year. And I actually think the ceiling is really high for a huge second half from Tampa. I think they could be better than they were in the first.
I'm with you on Tampa. They, to me, are probably the third best team in the Atlantic right now. I would rate them ahead of the Boston Bruins based on what I've seen so far this year. So I'd put them right behind Toronto and Florida. And if they got into a series with one of those teams, I'd give them a very legitimate shot with that high-end talent to get things done. On Monday, guys, I'm looking at the Washington Capitals. When in doubt, just fade the Buffalo Sabres. That's, it's tried and true. So Washington puck line. And there's a great thing Bet365 offers is the live goal scoring prop. I think it's something to keep an eye on. If you're watching a Capitals game in the third period and they're up by one or maybe two goals, go look at Alex Ovechkin live for an anytime goal. We know he loves those empty nets. I did it on Saturday. He didn't even need the empty net. He scored instantly right off the faceoff and pots that thing in. So something to keep an eye on, Nick, if you're playing that market, the anytime goal for Ovi live in the third period. I think it's something to keep an eye on.
I love that. And Lieboff, we were just talking about it in general from a betting point of view. The Capitals have been so fun this year.
Yeah, they have. And finally, like, it took a long time for the betting market to catch up on how good this team. I mean, it took all of us a long time. I think everyone just expected, when you see that -38 goal difference last year and they still make the playoffs, everyone's like, oh, here comes the regression. And it just never came because they did such a good job plugging holes in the middle of the lineup. And it kind of is a good message to people, I think, in just the hockey media. Like that Pierre-Luc Dubois trade was panned across the board, and it's going to end up being a win-win for both teams, as Kemper's been pretty good for LA, another team that I think actually is pretty interesting just in a big picture point of view. So yeah, Washington's interesting. Obviously you see Spencer Carberry's a pretty prohibitive odds on favorite to win the Jack Adams, so tip your cap to him. The one award that I do think I want to talk about, and it's a little bit down the board here, is the Selke. I see that Barkov is he's basically the same odds as Carberry. He's like -280 or something. There's one guy who's floating around at 40-1 who I think is going to catch some attention and might get a nomination, and then who knows, and that's Andre Kopitar, especially if towards the end of the season there's murmurs of a maybe potential retirement. So he's just someone I want to keep in people to keep in mind. It's 40-1 at Bet365 on Kopitar to win that Selke, and obviously he's someone who coming into the year always has that reputation.
I like that. I like the Kopitar play a lot, actually. 40-1 too for a guy that's been in the mix for this award. And I mean, LA's playing some great hockey, some good defensive hockey. I was going to ask you about another award, the big one, the Hart Trophy, Liboff. I know Alberga's sitting over there resting on his Kirill Kaprizov ticket that looks pretty nice, assuming health the rest of the way. He's very much in this conversation. I think if you haven't bet it yet, one number that does kind of jump out to me is Leon Draisaitl around 10-1. I know McDavid tends to cancel him out, but he's having a monster season right now. So I got my eye on Draisaitl. Is there anyone that jumps out to you in that race right now, Liboff?
Just remind yourself, there's still 41 games left, right? Like for most teams. So there's potential here for someone to maybe make a move. Obviously the list is going to be pretty short. There's a few guys who I think could be interesting. Cale Makar at triple digits, if you want to get real, you know, funky with a bet, I think is interesting. I like the Draisaitl shout. If I had to pick somebody from the top six, that being McDavid, Kaprizov, McKinnon, Hellebuck, Kucherov, and Draisaitl at this point, it would be Leon. He's been awesome. I mean, Quinn Hughes at 100-1 is also right there. If he can kind of galvanize this Canucks team and continue putting up the numbers he is, I don't think that he's a bad shout at all, especially with the media market that's been, or the media circus that's been following that team. So it does feel like this is a three-horse race between McDavid, Kaprizov, and McKinnon at this point. At least that's how the books are trying to paint it. But I do think there's cases to be made for a few guys down the board. I mean, if you even want to go as far as Mitch Marner, he's certainly someone who could enter the fray if he continues to play the way he's going. So there's probably more meat to this bone in the Hart Trophy than it looks right now, is how I would put it.
Couple more spots I like just to wrap. Edmonton at Boston on Tuesday night. Give me the Bruins money line in that game. Always tight between those two teams. And four of the last six, keep this in mind, have ended in a 3-2 score between those two teams. And Toronto at Philly, I'm going to take the Nylander anytime goal. 7-game goalless drought. He's been on fire for the majority of the season. Hasn't been good as of late. So that could change there for William Nylander of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Liboff, excellent stuff. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnectsOntario.ca, Jake.
I might be opening up the old Bet365 and going to bet that Anže Kopitar number that Liboff brought up. That's a nice little number there. It'd be a fun sweat. I think it's something he can hang around the race. And that guy does not get enough respect, Anže Kopitar. I know we both know how great he is. I think he was in the spotlight, obviously, when LA was competing for Stanley Cups and things like that about a decade ago. But playing out in the West Coast, I mean, he is an absolute stud. Very Bergeron-like, to be completely honest. Bergeron got a lot more love, obviously, playing in the East Coast, but Kopitar's the man.
He is absolutely the man. Not to be devil's advocate here, not to play devil's advocate, but this time last year, remember how we were feeling about the Los Angeles Kings, Jake, and they fell off a cliff, and they know what's coming up, a first-round matchup with the Oilers, so good luck with that.
Yeah, so I've told you this before. I get sucked into the Kings every year. It's like I can't help myself. They play this brand of hockey that I look at, and I go, that's playoff hockey right there. You can lock it down, win 2-1 games, 3-0 games, and then exactly what you said happens. They hook the Oilers in the first round. So if I'm LA, I do everything I can to avoid that first round matchup. Just see a different jersey in the first round. It's got to be tough to look across and see McDavid and the boys every year.
Very, very difficult. Just to wrap, here's the schedule for this week, January 6th to 12th. 53 games in total, 4 on Monday, 10 Tuesday, 4 on Wednesday, 10 on Thursday, 5 Friday, 15 on Saturday, and 5 on Sunday. 4 game teams you want to look at on the waiver wire: Anaheim, Carolina, Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Tampa, Vancouver, Vegas, and Washington, 12 teams. And the two-game teams you want to stay away from, Jake, Nashville and the New York Islanders.
Well, Vegas is an obviously they're a great team. We know that. Can we find some value for maybe some secondary pieces? Remember how great Pavel Dorofeev was for a while, Nick? It kind of felt he kind of went in the cooler a little bit, but I think with a nice week coming up, a four-game week, he did score the other day. And I think he's hovering around 10% ownership, something like that. Maybe it's time to fire him back up and give him a shot this week.
I love that. We're pimping our boy Pavel Dorofeev against for the Vegas Golden Knights. So setting up another week, Jake, coming up on Thursday. We'll have the Week 14 Mailbag Edition. Also, don't forget to check out NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Demers. Best of 2024 edition is out right now. So, Jake, we'll talk later this week, buddy.
Looking forward to it. Love the mailbag. The listeners have been coming through this year with some great questions, so keep them coming, and we'll get to them on Thursday.
And if you want as well, hit us up with your biggest surprises, both team and player, biggest disappointments as well. We'll further the conversation leading up to Thursday's edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Many thanks to producer extraordinaire Phil Constantino. For Jay Kahn, Pete Jensen, and Michael Leboff, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.